Welcome to sermon audio from Grace Hill Church in Pittsboro, North Carolina. I'm Lee Callicutt, pastor for preaching and teaching at Grace Hill. Grace Hill Church exists to glorify God by being a community on mission transformed by the gospel. For more information about Grace Hill, visit us at gracehillchatham.com. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. How in the world could you or I possibly please God? Something about me, when I think about pleasing God, seems impossible. Something about perhaps when you think about yourself pleasing God, it seems impossible. I mean, how are you and I, ruined and undone, wretched sinner, supposed to please a God who is in need of nothing? To please a God who is satisfied and eternally happy within Himself. How are we to bring anything, be anything, do anything that would please that God? A self-sufficient, self-satisfied, eternally happy God, as the book of Acts says, a God who is not served by the hands of men and has no need of anything because He gives every person life and a soul. How can we as the creature please the one who has created us? I mean, how is there anything I can add to God's pleasure? How can I, whose best works is nothing but filthy rags, who my best motive, my best presentation and performance of myself still comes from a rebellious, sinful, undone wretch, to even begin to think that you or I could please God is at best presumptuous. But now, how many people answer this question? They answer it wrongly. They'll say that to please God relies on our ability, relies on our efforts, relies on our performance and what we do. And so if I do really well, perform really well, and live an excellent life, then God must be pleased with me. And we answer the question wrongly on how you and I can please God by making it about ourselves. And by making it about our performance, and that answering that question wrongly about how I can please God will only lead us to one of two ditches. We will either try to please God through a bunch of man-made rules and Phariseeism and legalism, and then we will come to these man-made rules and think, I could never accomplish, I can never aspire, I can never achieve what I am supposed to do in order to please God. I can never please God, and it leads to utter despair. Or it leads to self-righteousness, where we say, I've acted so good, I've performed so well, I'm such a good person, how could I not please God? And neither of those, despair and self-righteousness, are the two ditches we must avoid. What we actually learn from Hebrews 11:6 and what is going to be taught today is how and why we can actually please God. And it's an exclusive way. There is one way you and I can please God. And it's with faith, and faith alone. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And with faith, we do please God. And so today we simply will look at why and how faith pleases God. And how those who have faith can and actually do please God. And so we see the author of Hebrews telling us in chapter 11 what faith looks like and how faith expresses, manifests, demonstrates itself in the life of the Christian. And we need to be reminded once again what faith is. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things unseen. Faith is this humble dependence upon God. To believe God, to believe His word, to receive His promises, and then act in accordance to what God has said and who God is. To take Him at His word, to receive His promises, and to live in accordance with who God is and what He has said. That is faith. And we see from the opening of Hebrews 11 in verse 2, it was the Old Testament saints that actually received their commendation through faith by God. It was through faith the Old Testament believers were pleasing and accepted and commendable to God. It is by faith Abel offered a sacrifice more excellent than his brothers. And it was that sacrifice and Abel's faith that made him pleasing to God. It was by faith that Enoch walked with God and pleased him. See, that is the type of faith of the Old Testament saints, the type of faith that believed that God created the world out of nothing, the type of faith that Abel had to offer a sacrifice, the type of faith that Enoch had to walk with God. That is the type of faith that pleases God. And so now he's out working the principles of that faith that we've already seen, that he's already explained from Abel and Enoch. In verse 6, he says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." So the beginning of verse 6, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him." The him is obviously God. It's impossible. He states the negative to assert a positive. The author of Hebrews does this throughout the book. He says, don't throw away your confidence, meaning hold fast to your confidence. He's doing this again. It's one of the ways he writes, the author of Hebrews writes, is he states a negative to assert a positive. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Or to put it positively, faith pleases God. Only faith pleases God. Enoch pleased God by walking with him, and he was taken up. Abel offered a sacrifice by faith. With faith, you please God. Notice what it does not say. It does not say without faith, it's extremely challenging to please God. He doesn't say without faith, it will be really difficult for you to please God. He doesn't say without faith, if you try really, really hard and you're genuine enough and you're sincere enough, you might please God. It says without faith, it's impossible to please God. In the most absolute, explicit sense, if you do not have faith, you will not please God. It's an impossibility. It ain't happening. You and I cannot please God at all without faith. We cannot please God in any circumstance, in any situation, if we do not have faith. Romans 14, 23 says, "For whatever proceeds does not proceed from faith is sin." So you can try and work and perform and put on religious shows. You can be full of zeal and passion and even sincerity. You can have an outward conformity. But if it's not with faith, your actions, your life, your offering, your giving, your service is not pleasing to God. So what Spurgeon says actually on this passage, on this verse from a sermon he preached. And he says, Spurgeon says, quote, "Do what you may, Strive as earnestly as you can. Live as excellently as you please. Make what sacrifices you choose. Be as eminent as you can for everything that is lovely and of good repute. And yet, none of these things can be pleasing to God unless they are mixed with faith. It's an exclusive claim. The only way to please God is with faith. Faith alone. It's an impossibility to please God without faith. You can participate in all the outward forms. You can sing the songs. You can recite the creeds. You can read the scriptures. You can listen to sermons. You can attend church. You can join the church. You can be baptized. You can give your money. You can strive. You can try to achieve. You can try to perform. And if it's not done with faith, it's not commendable. It's not pleasing. God doesn't accept it. To please God, faith is necessary. Nothing we do, no matter how holy you may think it is, nothing you do and nothing you bring and nothing you can contribute, no benevolent act, no act of kindness, no prayer, no raised hand, no tear that you cry, no matter how seemingly good it seems. If it is not with faith and does not come from a heart of faith, it does not please God. Moralism does not please God. Legalism does not please God. Self-righteousness does not please God. Bottom line, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So now, if we want to be a people or a person pleasing to God, and we know that we have to have faith to do so, the question that is now begged is, how do I get this faith? How do I have this faith that is pleasing to God? And then, why is it pleasing to God? So how do we get this faith? And now some of us perhaps are even guilty sitting here now. Okay, so now to please God, I better drum up and work up faith within my own heart so now I can be pleasing to God. And that's still making it about yourself. You're still making it about something you do. See, the faith that you and I need to please God doesn't even rely in yourself. Faith is not working up enough goodness or volition or fortitude or courage in ourself and producing faith. See, the faith that pleases God is not something we can produce on our own. What does Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9 say? By grace you have been saved through faith. And that is not of yourselves. It is a gift from God. So even the faith that you need to please God is given to you as a gift by a sovereign and good God. Faith is a gift. So you don't even have to work hard to drum up faith. Faith must be received. Faith is a gift. It is not merit. It is not something you achieved. It is not something you stirred up within yourself. Faith is not earned. Faith is not something worked out of your heart. Faith is something worked into your heart by God. And then, if that's true, since that is true, since even the faith that's pleasing to God is given to us by sovereign God, you can't brag or boast. You can't say, oh, it was me that was so wise and so good and so full of zeal that I have faith to be pleasing to God. No, there's nothing in us, even the faith required to please a holy God is not, it does not lie within you. Faith doesn't even start with you. Your own faith As we say, my faith. It doesn't start with you. Not saving faith. Not biblical faith. It's not mustering up your volition that you would believe. Faith is a sovereign, divine gift. God, how good is God to give us the very faith we need to please Him? The very thing that pleases God in us is something God put in us. God says we can please Him through faith. And the very faith that pleases Him is from Him. So then why is faith pleasing to God? Faith is a gift given to us by God, where what happens in the life of the person that has received the gift of faith now no longer looks to themselves for anything. They no longer depend upon themselves. Faith is this humble dependence upon God, His goodness, His promises, His gifts. And so what faith does is actually turns our eyes away from ourselves and turns it to the God who loves us and given us faith. That is part and parcel why faith is pleasing to God. Because why did God do anything? Why did God give you the gift of faith? For His own good pleasure. My God is in the heavens, Psalm 115, and He does all that He pleases. And if He's given you the gift of faith, that means He gave it to you for His own good pleasure. So why is faith pleasing to God? It's because it pleases God. It pleases God to have given you that gift. And so faith now comes with empty hands to this God. Not looking to barter. Not looking to negotiate. But says, nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross that I cling. See, faith pleases God because faith comes empty-handed, not looking to self, not looking to their own righteousness, but looking to God and His Son and His grace and His righteousness and His wisdom. Faith is the dependence and reliance on who God is. It's not meritorious. Faith is this humble dependence upon God, and then the psalmist says that those that have this faith, the Lord takes pleasure in His people. And He honors the humble with victory. Have we ever just thought about that in light of a passage like this? Is that God, by giving you the gift of faith, changing your heart, making you born again, giving you the gift to even believe, opening your eyes to even believe that goodness, that grace, that sovereignty. And then God takes pleasure in His people. Like God, if you are in Christ by faith, God takes pleasure in you. Not because of you and what you have done, because what Christ has done on your behalf. See, faith looks to Christ. Faith looks to His righteousness. And it is by faith God crushes His Son for our sin. And by faith we receive the righteousness of Christ. And then God, it pleases God to look upon the Son and pardon His people. By faith we are declared righteous. What pleases God first and foremost is His Son. And by faith we are hidden in the Son. And we receive His righteousness. We receive His pardon. We receive the forgiveness of sins. I have faith in no other name and in no other person than Jesus Christ. And I hide myself by faith in Christ and a declared righteous. And as God says of the Son, it is my Son whom I am well pleased. It pleases God to look upon the Son who He is well pleased in and pardon the sinner who hides themselves in Christ. So why does faith please God? Because it trusts in Christ. It trusts in His righteousness. It is that type of faith that pleases God. Because it is that type of faith that makes much of God. Any other way makes much of man. Any other way makes much of you. But saving faith in Christ and his righteousness, knowing that it is a gift, it pleases God because that type of faith makes much of God. And God is jealous for his own glory and he will not share it with another. That is why faith pleases God. Because I have nowhere to turn, nowhere to go, nowhere to hide. But in the Son. Faith says this is where all my hope lies. It lies in Christ. And that pleases God. Because see, without faith, we are without Christ. And without Christ, we are without righteousness. And without righteousness, it is impossible to please God. But through faith in Christ, we have the righteousness that is pleasing to God because it's not ours, but it's Christ's given to us. Amen. And then how is that faith expressed? For it is impossible to please him without faith. But verse 6 continues, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Here's what faith does. A faith that's been given, a faith that's been received, a faith that is trusting in the finished, sufficient work of Jesus Christ. What does that faith do? What are we learning through the chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews? Is faith works, faith has action, faith demonstrates itself. And the faith that saves, that trusts in Christ and Christ alone, what it does is it seeks God. It draws near to God. It is even by his divine mercy that we would even draw near. And the life of faith that pleases God continues to draw near. Verse 6 says, for whoever would draw near to God. Whoever draws near. This isn't the first time we've seen in the book of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews encouraging his readers and his listeners to draw near to God. We've seen it in 4:16. He says, draw near to Christ, draw near to God in prayer, 4:16. 7:25, because Christ is able to save to the othermost, let us draw near. We draw near for salvation. In 10:22, we draw near to God in order to worship him. And here again, in 11:6, those that have faith given to them by God will do something. And what they will do is they will draw near to God. They will seek God. Can we dare say that actually the Christian life, the sum total of the Christian life, is that we are people who draw near to God. We are people who seek him for in prayer, in worship, for salvation. That is the life of faith. The life of faith expressed is drawing near to God and seeking his face. See, verse 6 goes on and says, you must believe he exists. It's pretty self-evident. Obviously, if I don't think God exists, I'm not going to draw near to something that's imaginary. I'm not going to draw near to something I don't think exists. See, in the original, it just says, they add exists, we have an understanding of how the language is conveyed, but really in the original, it just says, believe he is. Just believe he is. See, the Bible never actually tries to make an argument for the existence of God. It asserts it. It never tries, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. The very existence that a good sovereign God exists is the fundamental presupposition for all that we believe. If we don't believe he exists, then we're just looking at myths and fairy tales. But see, there is this God who exists. There is this God who is holy, righteous, full of justice, full of truth, who is love, who sent his son. And because we believe he exists, because we believe he is, we will draw near to him. We will seek him. And the only place actually that the Bible speaks of God not existing is actually speaking of the one who does not believe in his existence. And the biblical data calls that person a fool. See, we don't believe that. We believe God exists. And because we believe God exists, we know how he is, who he is, we are going to draw near to him. But something we must also draw out is it's not simply believing God exists to have biblical and saving faith. A lot of people believe in a supreme higher power. James 2 even says that even the demons believe. So it's not just simply believing God exists, but it's believing God exists, and notice the rest of verse 6, believing that he exists and rewards those that seek him. There's a lot of people that believe in the existence of God, but they do not seek him. They do not draw near to him. But it is faith that says, I know this God, and I know for him, I know that he exists, and I know him to be wise, good, loving, gracious, merciful Father. And because of such, I'm going to diligently seek him. That's actually in the last part of verse 6. It says the verb to seek is actually got a prefix that intensifies the word to seek. So it's appropriate to translate it to earnestly seek, to diligently seek. And then notice in verse 6, it also says, and rewards those that seek him. I mean, what a promise. What a promise from God. Not only does he give us the faith to please him, and the faith to seek him, all of his doing. And then yet, the very faith that would cause us to seek him, that's given by him. He says he rewards us. I mean, how good is this Father? How good is this God? That he rewards those who seek him. And then he's given us the very faith to even seek him. So see, faith in God's existence, faith that pleases God, is not just mere intellectual knowledge. It's not just mental assent. Faith expresses itself in seeking God, diligently seeking God, a wholehearted devotion to seek him. Here's the danger in a lot of our circles. We read lots of books and we know a lot of stuff. Is that you can have an orthodox understanding of God and not seek him, and not draw near to him. It is faith that not only says he exists, but it's faith that pursues him. Pursues him in his word, in communion, in prayer, by his spirit. Notice he says he rewards those who seek him. To seek the person of God, the triune God. Seek the person. Too many people are guilty of seeking God for the stuff. For seeking Jesus, not for Jesus, but for what Jesus can give them. But faith says it seeks him and him alone. That we seek the God who is, the God who was, the God that is to come. The God that exists. The God who is, not the God of our imagination, not the God that we've made up, but to seek the one true God who has revealed himself as he is in his word. And then he rewards those who seek him. And I also know in our circles we want to footnote this passage. Reward, that sounds works-based. It sounds kind of health and wealthy, name it and claim it. He's going to reward us? Yes, God is going to reward those who seek him. What a thrilling truth to hold on to. By faith, I can approach God. And he doesn't say, but depart from me. He says, I'm going to reward you. I'm going to welcome you. I'm going to bless you. In other words, you can go to God and never be disappointed. You can go to God and be rewarded. Draw near to God. A coming close, a seeking of God will never be in vain. Whoever comes and whoever comes by faith, God rewards. What terms God has laid out for us. Now, yes, we know that the seeking of God and the drawing near of God, it's not that if you seek God, you get an awesome car. It's not that you get an easy life and a bunch of money and perfect health. The reward is not that my pain and trouble just disappear. But look at the foundation of the promise. Reward those who seek Him. So who's the reward? It's not the stuff that God can give you. The reward is God Himself. Those who seek Him, draw near to Him. And then when you draw near to Him and you know this God, He satisfies the heart that's been longing for Him. He says, I don't even want your stuff. I want you. Because when I draw near to God, when you draw near to God, you get God. That's the reward. I don't draw near to Jesus so Jesus can give me stuff. I draw near to Jesus because I get Jesus. That's the reward. And then when we see the gospel in its full glory, all this carnal, worldly, silly stuff grows mighty dim. Doesn't that even change the whole promise? If I seek Him, I get Him. So now, faith isn't saying that if I seek God, I get a better life. It's I get eternal life. It's not that if I seek God, all my doubt and pain and anguish just vanish. No, what it says is that we have a God in heaven that you can seek, that you can take your doubt, your pain, and your anguish to. And you know what is better than going? You know what is better than going to God and Him giving you money and health and a trouble-free life? You know what's better than that? Is when you draw near to God, God will give you Himself. So you take it to Him in every moment. He walks with you and He is there with you. And that makes all the difference in the world because the ultimate reward is God. Which also means our faith is not faith in faith. It's not faith in the power of faith. Our faith is tethered and tied to an object. And that is God Himself. And I will seek Him diligently so and be rewarded. And I'll be rewarded with a communion and walk with the God who is in the need of nothing but has given me life and a soul. See, faith entrusts itself to the only proper object. And when I diligently seek God as a rewarder, God says to His people, I give you nothing less than myself. So now the question that bears upon us now. Is do you diligently seek this God? Do you draw near to this God? Because here, faith, what faith does is faith diligently, earnestly, intensely seeks God as your reward. This is how faith responds. Faith responds by seeking God. So are you seeking Him diligently, or are you living some half-hearted, complacent life of faith? John Owen, on this verse, says this expression refers to the one who diligently seeks God, because a faith that is not diligent is no faith at all. So I ask the question, if you do not seek God, I'll flip it on its head. I ask if you seek God. The question, the answer to that is yes or no. But this faith expresses itself by seeking God. So now I ask it another way. If you do not seek God, do you have faith? I mean, doesn't it beg the question that if you have an apathetic, half-hearted faith, is it even faith? I mean, doesn't the psalmist write, we're like deer panting after streams of water? To taste and see that the Lord is good, to have the bread of life and be satisfied, to have consummate joy of knowing Him and enjoying Him. So do you seek this God? Do you know this God? Do you hunger and thirst and pursue this God? Because the faith given to His people will seek Him. Have you drank from heaven's fountain? Have you eaten from the bread of life? Have you found God to be your reward? And do you do it by faith? Because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And without faith, you will not diligently seek Him. So now back to the beginning. How in the world could I or you possibly please God? I'm a dirty stain. Undone, wretched sinner. I'm corrupted and polluted from the moment I have conceived. And to think about drawing near to God and seeking God, it doesn't fill me with wonder, praise, and awe. It fills me with terror. Because we know that God is holy and absolutely righteous. So what do? I am nothing but an undone, rebellious, ruined, wretched worm whose best works are filthy rags. So how do I do this? What is faith? How is it pleasing? How will I ever please God? How could I ever approach God? How could I approach this God that is self-sufficient in Himself, the God who needs nothing, the God who rules the universe and the galaxies with holiness, justice, truth, and wrath, when I am nothing but a rebel running away from His calls and His heart? I do the very things He hates. How could I ever be the object of His pleasure and delight, when drawing near to God seems so distant? You go to the Father through the Son. Nothing in your hands, because Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. We draw near to God. Nothing commendable in me. It's never been about you. It will never be about you. It will never be about what you bring and what you do. It is Jesus and Jesus alone. And the Father receives all that would come in Christ through faith because of the blood and righteousness of Jesus to make you acceptable, pleasing to God. It is nothing that you will do. It is all what Jesus has done. And you, in faith in Him, are declared righteous and pleasing to God. You've never approached God on the basis of your own works, merits, or strength. We only approach God through Christ. That is how you're pleasing. You don't stand in your own strength. You don't stand in your own works. You stand in Christ. So let's just be reminded, by faith, God will be pleased with you because He is pleased with Christ. And if you are in Christ, pleasing God is not just a possibility. It's a reality. Because you're pleasing to God because Christ is pleasing to Him. Because faith pleases God. Because faith rests in Christ. And it is in Christ God is well pleased. So stop thinking. Stop thinking. Being pleasing to God has ever been dependent upon you. Run and flee to the cross again and again. The very pleasing thing about you to God is Christ's righteousness in your place. And God says, I'm so pleased with my Son that if you are with Him, you're good with me. So do not, as we sang earlier, do not let conscience make you linger. People think, I can only please God by being good enough, more holy, more serious, more spiritual. And they fail to draw near and to seek God because they think they have to add something or bring something to the table where God will finally say, oh, I'm now pleased with you. It's nothing that you will bring. God was never pleased with you because of you. He's only been pleased with you, and He'll only be pleased with me, and He'll only be pleased with whoever because of Christ. By the very faith He has given you to believe upon the Son. And then God says, the only requirement is to feel your need of Him. Don't let conscience make you linger. Simple trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says, welcome to my family. Welcome to eternal life. Welcome to me. It's on the basis of Christ God rewards you. So draw near to God. And He will reward those who do so by faith. Faith pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But the faith that pleases God is the faith that believes God will reward all those who come to Him through Jesus Christ alone. Faith in Christ pleases God forever. Thank you for listening to sermon audio from Grace Hill Church. Please feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without written permission.